You brought up the phenomenon of apostles for the Ionda movement. You were suggesting a few, but what was more would you say about it? I mean, that'll happen. Is that a problem? Are they, you know, Mr. Yeah, so why did you mention it?
Did you ask?
No, I never brought up the apostles, but I might have been asking something.
You wanted to know how the pecking order of this thing was going to work. As it grows and matures and blossoms into this life's work for somebody, how is it going to be catapulted to the place beyond where we are now? How does this work? How does it apply? Okay, we're writing all these books. Well, what is that going to do? Are people actually going to engage them? Or are we just doing this for our health? Or how does this all work? And you go, well, yes, indeed. And then it even goes into a larger dynamic of having priests within the eldership of this work of folks that get it. That's what every other religion is, Bob. If you could leave the dogma out of it and just get back to the rite of passage of learning how to love yourself, it's not even having to learn how to love your brother. You can't do it. If you can't love yourself, even the bums won't want to sleep with you, Bob.
So you said there might be a non-dogmatic bureaucracy set up for it.
There not might be. There is a non-dogmatic place that some would attach as a grouping together. Well, isn't that what a religion is?
Are you saying there would be priests?
Sure.
But it would be just like an army, a corporal. You've done this, you served that much.
Oh, God, I hope not. Well, then people would join the Ionic movement because they're tired of people telling them what to do.
I didn't bring up the word apostles. It didn't occur to me. You did.
Bobby went through the pecking order to figure out that you're even involved in the whole corporation.
Now you're talking
you're
about...
involved in that process.
Yeah, you're talking about a query I had over several days. Questioning, right? Which you wouldn't see as days, just is. But in that particular point where you brought the apostles, I wasn't consciously thinking of apostles or that aspect. But then it came out. So now you're pointing out the larger framework for it. Wondering about what we are. What is it about apostles that is an issue, a concern, or not a concern, or what is it? Why did you bring it up?
Because you wanted to know, but it matters not. It's just the dynamic that is it unfolds, how it all lays out. You're going to get to where you can't schedule everything and handle everything and do everything and be everything. Mm. And it's going to get larger than you. So much so that it just be, you know, you... out of the 10,000 emails, you want to do 10. Okay? Then, therefore, you would need some apostolic guidance to do that sitting for you.
And Ion cannot service every person.
Oh, sure we can. Sure we can. Sure we can. But that's not the point. The point is, if they interfere with your beach time or they do it before 2 in the afternoon, that's too early. And then if it gets too late, then it doesn't work there. So it becomes very limiting in the opportunities that are available. So now we'll service the world as long as it's from 6 to 1:30 in the morning, your time.
Okay, I understand that. I knew that was coming. How are we going to fit everybody in? So we would have...
You danced right into that, didn't you?
I danced right into it, right. So JW requests me to be present. Are we going to get to the point where other people will substitute for Bob to protect JW from whatever I might rant on about something?
No, not necessarily. No, Bob, our business isn't that hard. Our business is very easy. You have a physical, and you're trying to get them convinced in the notion that they have a non-physical. And through the labyrinth of their mind, they become an enlightened off version of an ascended being. And once they become that way, then they'll start singing the mantra of Ion all day, every day. We wouldn't like it necessarily to be called the Ionic movement. We'd be the first church of non-physical. You know, the first church of non-physical. And then once that happens, they'll tell 2 friends and so on and so on and so on. And then it won't be long till we'll have to have an upper room, hopefully, on the upper levels of that little island you live on, to have an upper room experience where you just have to talk about what's going on here and how it applies there. And, you know, Sally figured out that she didn't have to be healed because she was tired of laying on the porch. And that Polly figures out that his cancer cells. He's more powerful than his. He that is in him is more powerful than he that is in the world. And then that ascension process comes in taking an effect. Then you don't have to convince them. You know, they don't have to have a reading. They can just play and then live and thrive. And once that happens, they're only going to want to resonate and be around folks that are also in the ascension or ascended process. And then what happens is it goes on to a point to where it becomes they want to have a supper club for saints, the Ascension Club, the Mile High Club. Oh, wait, that's a different part.
No, the jumping off the Mayan platform with Bob Club.
Okay.
You know, going into the black hole and returning club.
Yeah, I'll fly away. Oh, glory, I'll fly away. When I die, hallelujah, bye and bye, I'll fly away. There'll be those that want to fly away, so that's okay. And there won't be all the degradation and the problems and the bullshit that comes with the less than, because we're more extended than you. We're more saved than you are lost. That's not how that works at all, is it?
No.
That's how that's what they've turned it into.
But it's almost like we have a movement that could tell how well we're doing.
Well,
because we wouldn't know who's ascended or not.
Well, yes, you will. You'll know.
We'll assume everybody's ascended.
No, you just won't care. You know how you'll know the ones having ascended? They'll be measuring the movement. Their bowels will move, and they'll measure how much their bowels move, and then they'll figure out how close they are to ascension or not. But those ascended ones know that's just a biological function that is, and they won't have any regard regarding it. Their questions will become less cheeky, or either that are more cheeky and lead more toward fun, you see. So it's going to be, and that's a given. And if it's not, then the contrast is going to get to such a degree that they're going to choose it regardless.
Okay, it's going to be meaning the ionic movement. I think that's what you meant.
Yeah.
And then you said, if it isn't, they're going to make it happen anyways. Is that what you said?
Yes, because the contrast will get so burdensome that they're looking for a reason, and they'll find one. Well, all we're doing is providing this, and here's the one answer. It always applies every single time without further exception. Our business is about joining the physical and the non-physical through the labyrinth of the mind, so you become as one. When you become as one, then you have all knowing, you have all power, you have all creation. You're the center of your universe, and don't give a crap what everybody else thinks about you and you. Okay? Then your business is about learning how to love yourself, accept yourself, to play with yourself, to enjoy your own self. The second that happens, then you find out that everybody wants to play with you, and it becomes a delicious repose. So you're foolish to think that you don't create a place for them to enjoy and play and be. Then there's big trouble in Little City, because then they'll be out on their own, disconnected from their own self. Because the non-physical that's in you resonates with the non-physical that's in JW, that's in Carolyn, that's in Barbara Ann, and even Nancy. That applies, and that's where you can come back to the place, well, I don't understand you, but it's not my job to understand you. I love me so much that I can also love you.
They're looking for a reason. There was art as a reason. There was science as a reason. There was media as a reason. There was religion as a reason. All these cultural phases of people thinking that was a reason. I like the Ion point sort of sums up all the inspirations of all those other separate things and puts together to the simplest statement, but the most comprehensive, and we'll actually have a public expression of what art was groping for, what science was groping for, what media was groping for. That's what I see Ion doing. So I take that McLuhan statement, at electric information speeds, art, science, and nature converge. Or even art, science, nature, and media converge through understanding media. The understanding media becomes through the ionic movement. So this would be a beginning point, because we come back to what the only thing that ever worked. And it's never been stated clearly or had the opportunity to be said to so many people as today.
Without all the crap. It's been said 10,000 million times. 10 million times. If they get just to the crux of it, just to the money shot, just to the good part, okay? And then they go, never mind, or it only works sometimes, or you didn't believe enough, or you really didn't have Jesus in your heart, or you really pissed off Buddha, so you're on your own, or you didn't meet the calibers of the ascension process. You weren't worthy. Well, then guess what? Sometimes you do that to yourself. Poor Moses got caught in that same little centrifuge that got him spun out of shape as well. And that's okay, because, you know, it is what it is, and that's not a problem. But the empirical reference becomes, how are you doing with it? How's it working for you? Well, great, or shitty, or I don't know, or I didn't care anyway, I'm happy. And then you go, well, wait a second, so you're meaning to say that it's more important for you to be happy than it is for you to be right? And they say, well, absolutely. Is there another way to do it? I can't run the world. I don't care to. It's not my responsibility. Hey, it's no my job, man. It's no my job. No my job. No my job. No my job. Well, no my job is a great topical application that soothes a lot of your ills.
And I was coming up with the best reason for those who are looking for a reason. So then it's comprehensive reason, and then people are attracted to it. And you were saying an apostle might be someone who wants to work with us, hang out with us.
Absolutely love to play. They want to play. They want to play. Then they may have a stunning question of the day. All right? Well, then that moves to the front of the line. And when you get 10,000 emails and somebody says, oh, look at this one, look at this one, look at this one, this one's new, this one's new, this one's new, then great. And then you read the question and it says, hi, the most pressing question that we have of the century is, when am I going to find my man? Or how am I going to pay for my vasectomy? Or how am I going to grow hair or not grow hair? Or
what does Ion do when, you know, you only do, you can say, do 10 readings a day? Are we going to develop other channels?
You certainly could. You absolutely certainly could. But I think the work will be much more embraceable or approachable once it becomes topically soothing, where it becomes a solution-oriented candor, if that's the word you'd like to use. Then what happens is we might even come to a place where they have a question that they send in.
Right.
It becomes in a bank situation where all the words are listed. And when Carolyn gets her stenographer that can take the words down just as they are and not have to sift them and put it into a bank of listings, and then you can charge them just like the Google Word. And if they want to know about something, type in the word and it takes them to where it is in that script. And those references and inferences regarding it, then those words, they're not perfect words. Well, hell yes, they are. They're very marvelous words. They can apply them to their own place of well-being.
It's like high-tech, be able to have the Android beam working for us.
As long as your plastic body holds out.
No one will know that JW is the owner. He's just the guy who does it.
He's like, not.
Yeah, he's not the owner of anything. So when I was saying the other day that money is time is community, and money and time don't work as community anymore, so we're looking for community.
It never has worked.
Never has, but anyways, community is a reason. People gather around a reason that forms community, which is what you were just saying. People want to hang around the non-physical ionics. So the economy, since nobody trusts anybody, there's no community. So we're looking for a way to create a new community. So Ion will create a new community that could become incredibly treasured, thrown at it, just so
prolific.
Prolifically want to line up, and then that's where you're saying that people come around to me and Carol and say, well, you seem to be the guys who were here first. You probably own this thing. Here, I want to give you $4 trillion so that I can be in your position. I guess the question is, it'll look so valuable, it'll be beyond treasure, gold, and all that, because this is actually works. And then the guys who want to be connected to what works and think they can own it and buy it will be trying to own it. That's the point you're saying. The warning, the suggestion, the inevitable that will come.
No, it's not a problem. And if they do, you can say, no thanks, money already flows pretty and easy to me. How can I help you, though? Yeah, I'm already happy. Now, is this money supposed to make me happy? Well, great, I'm already happy. No, we just want you to have it, okay? Okay, thank you. And you do understand that I may or may not have you for dinner. And they go, well, of course, you know, but now, I've done a lot for you, so I expect, and you go, there's the issue. I'm going to leave you and your money out of my conceptual view of my fastest path to my joy. And through discernment and much angst in my ascension process, I can see through you and your foolish attempt to force me to love you, which I can love you with or without your money. So you're not going to be any more or less important to me than you would be if you were just in your ascension process and started learning how to love and trust yourself. And when that be the case, then your source can start serving you well rather than limiting your power.
That was a good answer.
It would. Because if they've got to buy their seat at the kingdom, what happens if they run out of money? Then they lose their seat at the kingdom. Damn, that sucks. You know, how are you going to do that? If that's what it's about, then it's kind of like, I don't have enough time to take your money.
But the phenomenon of ION could take off because it would provide a reason / community.
You haven't stumped us yet, Bob. Try as you might. We can't say you liked every one of the answers, but so far you've gotten an answer most every time.
Right. Which then comes to the next level. There is a mythic yearning, supposedly, for contact with...
Carolyn, get those words. A mythical yearning. Very good. That's good. If that didn't make a topic somewhere, I would be very surprised. Mythical yearning.
Bob said mythic yearning.
Yeah.
Well, I said mythical.
And I have the last word here.
So far. Carolyn, I'll have to do till you can do better.
Yeah.
Okay. Like Joseph Campbell said that people are looking for a new myth. That means different things. But I think that ION is providing a comprehensive myth and giving the experience. So I was saying the mythic yearning for contact with extraterrestrial. I don't know when that started, but some transcendent being comes from another place that's going to save us. Yeah, that's going to save us.
Or Rod Sterling.
Yeah, it's going to be very impressive in its knowing.
You can quake things. You can come into your power, your supernatural power, and they will stand in line to see your gadgetry or wizardry or or izzy.
That's right. They'll figure out, you're trying to look at your gadgetry. So the dream for the UFO contact, and that it, the thing that would come, one of the particular visions to come, would have ESP, it would know everything. They come in these disc-like vehicles, different images. Well, a smart person would know, well, we don't know how it'll show up, and we'll just enjoy it when it comes. But it could show up in the form of a medium, someone coming through JW, something coming through. I'm proposing that ION is the contact. And if this is the end of a cycle, beginning of a new thing, that's equal to the myth of the UFOs coming at the singularity time, or 2012 and all that. So ION showed up the right time.
Singularity would be a marvelous mistake. If all the non-physicals at one time got plugged in and turned on, the power alone, just with three, just with Connie and you
and JW.
Well, JW is very limited, of course. he's just coming into his basic, most basic understanding of this thing called living.
Yeah, there is discussion of cutting JW from the team as the two slackers.
Oh, absolutely. That pays him well.
He doesn't even know what time it is anymore.
He doesn't. And yet still finds time to bitch about how the schedule goes. So go figure.
I was talking to Bill Carolyn of the Chief Radio today. I phoned up to find out his version of events. And he couldn't say it, but I think he meant iTunes. He's negotiating with iTunes, who would then have his stuff available on iTunes. They've got iTunes Radio or something. So that isn't definite yet. But he said we can have the 2 hours on Wednesday, and maybe not every week. And he's giving it to James for free right now.
That's his bread and butter. He should be paying him. Bill should be paying James. Isn't that typically how that works?
James pays Bill money because Bill provides an environment to communicate to nobody, and nobody's listening. Well, that's the ruse. Okay, so Bill said that he will put a notice on the site at the top talking about our Wednesday show. He said, you know what, I think people are interested if they had access to Ion, if they could ask questions. I said, that's exactly what we're providing, and that's what we want to do. So we need to compose one sentence for Bill's blurb. We'll make a longer one for James's own website. So right now, Carol and Ion, let's think of a one sentence and bring in access to future terrestrial FT. Do you have a sentence that would announce what's going to happen on Wednesday, what's potentially happening? Do you have some suggestions, Ion?
Tune in Wednesday for your private session with non-physical.
That's good. Can we throw in an ET, an FT, exaggerated statement to just attract attention a bit?
Leave a non-physical so you're generic enough so that you don't spook off the flaky one. That's a good audience base.
Non-physical, sometimes called a future terrestrial.
Well, but that is kind of glib. You got to make it catchier than that. Mm. If you're non-physical, you got to do better than that, Bob.
What do you call a frequency terrestrial?
She's waking up now. That's good.
With non-physical, your frequency terrestrial.
No. Your source in the extraterrestrial world of now.
Tune in Wednesday for your private session with non-physical, comma, your source in the extraterrestrial world of now.
Very good.
And that's short enough and simple enough and makes you question enough that you'll bring out some of the fun ones.
Yeah, so could you email that to me, Carol?
Of course.
All right.
Y'all were so funny with your chip bodies. You're looking at each other and having to send it via around the world to each other. Like, Carolyn, could you sharpen my pencil so I could hit send on my computer and get it to you?
So the Ionic movement is very exciting.
Can we call it something other than a movement? Because that could also be construed as a bowel movement. Experience.
Yeah. The Ion experience.
Ionic.
Ionic experience. And we're not pushing against anything. That's the thing that really pisses most people off. Is because, no, in order for me to be right, you have to be wrong. And we go, okay, we don't mind being wrong because we'd much rather be happy than right. Every time you untie your shoelaces, now, Bob, those are the things that goes on your shoes. People used to use them all the time.
Yeah.
You know that. But
I remember.
Every time, there's not one time that you untie your shoelaces that they weren't tied. Well, if your shoelaces are untied, you cannot untie them.
Right. If they're untied.
Well, you say right, but that's probably the biggest thing that we've said in a very long time. People are all upset because their shoes aren't tied and they can't untie them. And they're pretty pissed off about it.
They can't make any
transfer. I can't make any headway.
I can't get ahead.
I can't survive. I can't do it. I can't even untie my shoes. Dumbass, they're already untied. I know, but I like to untie my shoes. Okay, then tie them, and then you'll have a reason to be able to untie them so you can find your value and validity in this thing called living. And if that's what it's required, by all means, please, we'll give you a requiem of how to tie your shoes, how to tie your life up into the awfulest knot that you could ever get yourself into, you marvelous creator. Now, non-physical, would you tie our shoes for us? Hell no. Tie your own shoes. You're the one that wants them untied, so you tie them. You tie it so then you can untie it. But then if you're lost because you can't untie your shoes and you can't come to the knowledge that your shoes are already untied, then you kind of go, oh, never mind, I can do this, I can do this. Then you're working with something. Then you become the church of the recently untied.
What was the statement that indicated that you were getting somewhere?
You're getting somewhere when you recognize that you don't have to untie your shoes to enjoy the shoes already being untied.
Okay, so I was just thinking now, the Ionic experience will be a success for us if our life is not changed one bit from what we've been doing now. Right? Even though there's all this other activity, it's still...
No, your mantra was, we can give you validatable, empirical, vindicated truth that this process indeed works. We just don't know and we don't care. It's working for us and we don't even know how. We can give you emphasis for supplied. You know, we can give you all the details if you require them. And that's fine, and if that helps you, great. But, you know, we don't know, but it's working for us. So, past that, we're good.
Bob, how did all this anachrony happen to you? I don't know. It's a big mystery, but it's definitely happened.
But it's fun.
It's fun.
It's fun. Exactly right.
Yeah, awareness said that I'd be PR for the Servants Awareness Public Relations. Well, this was all building on, we had four phases of cosmic awareness. Seth?
This is the beginning of our fourth phase.
Fifth phase, even though there is no fifth, so that's what we're beginning here.
No, you've gotten it back to the first phase.
Oh, yeah, we're back to first.
Oh, okay.
We've come back to cosmic awareness again. Where it said I'd be PR, it indicated which phase I'd be PR in.
So it truly is the end
of the beginning.
Of the beginning.
If this is new, it's a beginning.
No, it's the end of the beginning, because now you get to where you can apply it.
And that's the beginning of phase one again. Mm-hmm. Would you say that we can determine that we're in phase four in Hopi terms? Or is it not, the quality is not determinable what phase we're at?
Correct. Well, yeah. Because we're not behind the preposition. The at, he drops you back into the same thing a rabbit can do to a stump. You have to have an object of the preposition, and then that's, there's your problem, there's your conundrum, there's your anomaly. And that becomes issuing an issue in and of itself. So there you go. It's not about to limit. It's not about the limit. So if you have to have an object of the preposition, then we say forget the preposition. That's good. You fixed that right up. Very jumped in that rabbit hole. You got right out of it, Bob. Good for you.
There was a blip that said recording a call. That meant someone phoned, I guess, and it went into record. I've never seen that before. It's just on the phone. That meant someone was just phoning?
It's Raylan sending her forces to see what infiltrates the cycle of what non-physical is.
And you're on to her. You know that she's going to go through something, or is right now.
Mm-hmm.
Her life has come to a eureka.
The impossible.
Okay, so the...
To live the impossible life, to be the impossible dreamer.
Okay, so we're going to do this. I'm going to give you a topic to go on while I change. Here's the topic.
How do we stop this damn beeping?
No, I'm going to do it while you go on about...
Oh, well, you are the creator. Very good.
Yeah.
Send us on a spur. We're ready.
I was listening to session number 30. We were talking about Dante in the third circle, and that was Joyce's Raging Inferno. How many circles are there in Dante?
Seven.
There are seven circles. Remember when you talked about the fourth ring in Finian's Wake? Does that match with the circle of Dante?
Yes.
All right. While I change, you just sort of go through a bit of the map of the circles in Dante and the rings in Joyce and where they match or don't match.
Well, Joyce didn't even understand that, so we're not quite sure we're qualified, but we can tell you from Dante's experience.
Okay.
The level and degrees of what you call Hades, or the less than, the hell. See, Dante, you understand, was mad at the church. He actually did a better job of creating hell than Christ did. Jesus didn't speak much of hell. He didn't make a big do about it. It was just the less than place of not in paradise. Well, that's called contrast, isn't it? Well, but this is an eternal contrast. Well, we know now that that's not the case at all, you see.
Yeah.
Because, Bob, you are indeed the only hell your mother ever raised. In knowing that, then it comes into a new dynamic in Joyce's perception of trying to create the anomalistic. We're not sure if that's the word, and we don't really care. But the anomaly, the anomalistic reach. Because he didn't arrive, but it was a reach. To try to explain the basic rounds of tactility and how the experience is expressed. How the experience is indeed expressed. and the variations, or we might call it variegations thereof, the circles, the lines, the linear path that Joyce was trying to construe into the works of Dante, was drawing a mirrored parallel of how silly the whole process is. And then you become, why are we sitting on the levee waiting on the Robert E. Lee? Well, there's no better reason, because, you know, Finnegan's dead and we can't get there from now, so who's really going to win the war? Well, who's going to win the war has everything to do with who was at the wake. Well, who was at the wake? The ones that were sitting up with the dead. Well, why were they sitting up with the dead? What does that got to do with Mr. Wilkes and Gone with the Wind? See, Dante was trying to lay out the disconnection between the church, because he was a good Christian, but he'd kind of been spurned by the Holy Roman Catholic sect that was in
Venice,
sort of giving him the sticks about it a bit. So Dante, who was a little spurned by his Christian brothers in Christ, so much so that he thought, okay, well, if this is the spurning, if this is how it all works, then we need to see what we're being spurned regarding. So he builds all these. This is based on the same time that the indulgences were catching on. Mm. If you look at the empirical reference.
Yeah, it's the 100 years before the plague. It's the time leading up to the plague and all that.
That is exactly
correct. And the printing press was happening then, too.
That's the point, yes. And so it's like, well, if you want something to print, bless God, I'll give you something to print. And it's amazingly caught on. So what he created, just like Enoch's version of the layers and levels of heaven, which are... okay, because it was created. Well, he said, well, great, we'll give you layers and tiers of the contrasting version of that, which would be what you can look forward to, you pious, hypocritical sons of bitches. You're so wonderful and you're so pious and you're so forgiven. If you slip just like Moses, then let me show you what you can look forward to by your various degrees of eternal suffering in the, quote, bottomless pit of fire. Now, James Joyce picked up on this and started making reference to this flame. You remember the flame that would carry through the whole process of the flame of who brought the fire and where is the fire? That's the point, that we're trying to rekindle this contrasting experience that he was trying to convey in the work of Finnegan's Wake. Finneganese, I guess, is the right way to say that. That insert is not about the fire that was missing. It's the contrast of the layer that was corresponding to the ring that James was trying to protract within his compass of his work. Now, do we lose you? Do we have you? Are you there? Are we good?
No, we need to go into this a little more.
Well, then this don't get you too far off the rabbit hole, then. Ask your question.
Dante, he knew what Enoch had done. He said, nobody's done the level of hell.
No, he didn't do that at all. He was pissed at the Holy Roman Catholic Church. So he's like, well, if you're going to spurn me personally, then I'll show you what you, in your layers of heaven, the contrasting experience of the layers and degrees of hell.
Right, and the layers of heaven was known to be in the Bible via Enoch.
But it's not in the Bible.
Well, where is it?
The book of Enoch didn't make it through the Council of Nicaea.
Did Joyce know about the book of Enoch?
He did.
How would you have found out about it? Some quarters kept it around and told people?
Just like the Maccabees, just like stories of Lilith, just like answering some of the anomalous questions in your scriptures, like where did Cain go to get his wife if everything started with Adam and Eve?
The Apocrypha.
Apocrypha, yes.
Yeah. So he knew of Enoch, and he knew there was a level of heaven. Dante knew about the book of Enoch.
Well, of course.
I'm just thinking, he said, well, we got the level of heaven. Enoch did that. I'm going to do the levels of hell in reaction to... and something hadn't been done before. So he did it. Then this really took off, and then everybody really got involved in hell, because the church didn't teach that as much. What did they do? Talk about the levels of heaven before Dante emphasized that?
No, that wasn't in the scriptures either. So
what did the church emphasize?
Turn or burn, that you're going to be in this position of this falling into the category or the cataclysm of this positional, transitional position, that the Pope is the head of all, and if the Pope blesses you, then you're good, and if he doesn't, then you're screwed, and you can't get to heaven anyway if there's not a Holy Roman Catholic priest to give you last rites. Last rites, isn't that an interesting position? And through your 13 stages of the cross, and then you come back to the whole magic of this dynamic that you have to, if the Catholic Church doesn't usher your immortal, eternal, non-physical being, spirit man, doesn't usher it to its final destination, then it's lost. But they didn't necessarily say that it was just cast into hell. It was just not in heaven.
So you have very involved terrestrial management of the transition.
And that's the problem.
That was like a new version of the Ark of the Covenant. That was an imbued possession they had.
So then Dante says, okay, you want to F with me? Okay, let's F it. You're in charge, so here's the deal. Here's how it works. You have levels and degrees of hell. And so you pious sons of bitches, we said that earlier, if you fall from your place of a destination vacation.
An administrative level.
At a higher degree, here's where you fall in the schism of this eternal hellfire brimstone reality.
He threatened the managers and administrators of the transition with, if you screw up yourselves, this is where you'll end up. He won up the administration of hell.
It caught on so much so that people knew more about hell than they did heaven.
They didn't know about that.
Including the preachers of the day.
And knowing about heaven means knowing about the parallel worlds, correct?
No.
But they didn't know about it. They just worried. They weren't into the bliss levels. Levels of bliss.
Yeah, because this wasn't long. That's when they were still considering that the earth was flat. Not that there were more than one of them.
Joyce, someone pointed out to me, reminded me that in his first novel, Portrait of the Artist of a Young Man, a big chunk of the book is the Sermon of Hell. The preacher giving the fire and brimstone sermon of hell.
Yes, and the lack of fire in that atonement that prescribed from talking about the apostolic faith and doctrine. Do you remember the reference that the preacher was giving of the apostolic doctrines that were prescribed from the beginnings of the world that had to be prescribed regarding your own bastion of the differential between your immortal soul?
I don't remember anything about it.
Well, we might have been leading it just a little bit.
Yeah.
It was a much more simpler vernacular than that, but we were just trying to give you a little juice of something that you could work with there. You need a little pulp in your orange juice, Bob.
The thing about fire you said 5 minutes ago, you were referring to the fire of hell that Joyce was using as a metaphor or something?
No, the fire, this burning eternal flame
in hell
Dante made so livid, and then James Joyce, who didn't buy it or play with it and was making the whole twist about the whole thing, made that a simple reference down to even the whiff of the candle's flame.
Mm.
You did read the work, right?
Yeah, a long time ago. But that sounds familiar. But the point is, you're saying that the fire becomes a key symbol in his work.
Yes. That brings Dante front center into Finnegan's Wake. There's a new show on Broadway that's Finneganese that you'll have to look up on. It's supposed to be pretty spectacular. Maybe they'll do a better job than Joyce did.
You say Joyce got in a real muddle tackling Dante.
He got in a real muddle trying to get the meme established when he didn't understand it himself.
And what was the meme that he was trying to understand?
That you don't understand. You don't understand. And all the works and all the king's horses and all the king's men can't figure it out for you. You've got to whittle through your own way, through the layers or the rings of enlightenment. He was trying to describe how silly it is for you to try to achieve your own atonement when you don't know what you did wrong that got you unatoned in the beginning.
Yes.
It's all set in that stature of the in and out of the war, the hot and cold of the war, the Finnegan's Wake, the whole process of the dance.
Oh, the happy fall. I forget the Latin, the Felix Culpa or something. The happy fall. We celebrate our fall. Because we wouldn't have anywhere to go. He would make paradoxes out of those basic Catholic doctrines.
Yeah. All the way in the old Ironsides with the Civil War battleships that were covered in iron and the whole twisting, ranting of you good Christians, hurry up and kill them all so that'll be only Christians left.
He saw clearly the absurdity of Dante, but he got it himself tied up in a knot.
He didn't see it as absurd. He was trying to explain it. He was trying to validate the spurning that caused Dante to have that ritualistic work embraced by Dante in the beginning.
He didn't agree with the Dante. He didn't like the effect Dante created.
No, you're exactly right. But he was trying to make light of the silliness of the process.
Yeah.
But it vindicated the silliness was the lack of atonement. He couldn't get rid of Dante. But then it caught on to such a degree that people were starting to quote Dante more than the scriptures.
Mm-hmm.
So the crisscross of that in and out process, okay, we'll give him some airtime and then smart people will figure this out. Well, he spent his whole life in rewrites trying to get it done and he couldn't figure it out himself.
He was trying to figure out how we don't understand what Dante means.
It got so bad that people started believing Dante and started bringing that into their Catholic experience.
Yeah.
So much so that it became, are you a practicing Catholic? Well, I'm a Catholic. Hi, my name is Bob. I'm a Catholic. I'm going to the 12 steps, and we're going to get to the 13th, and when I get delivered, I don't go to Mass anymore, because once you're a Catholic, you're always a Catholic. So I don't participate, engage in Catholicism any longer, because it is the path of destruction for me. But I'm trying to overcome, and I'm so glad I have these meetings available that I can come to so that I can listen to my other brothers explain how they're also bitten by the Catholic bug. They're a Catholic, and they've been hoped for so much more, but that's the best they could. And they had lined up to get abused as a child they were altar boys, and they had to tease us priests, and I'm still a practicing Catholic, and I appreciate this opportunity, because life is really hard as a Catholic. I have many ebbing flows, twists and turns that catch me beyond my own creation, and I have only hell to look forward to, but I enjoy my faith as a Catholic now. And God will grant me the serenity to recognize the things that I can't see and provide me a church that will tell me what I do see and that will give me my rights and my limitations, that which I'm utterly am lost if I do not confess, that I can come into his presence of all of the other Catholics, and that we don't imbibe any longer, but yet we're still in that place of less thanness. And the Catholics will grant me the serenity to know the difference between my Catholicism and non-Catholicism. And I only drink non-Catholic beverages now, and that's much better, because then I know I'm less than, but I've learned to embrace it. Amen.
That whole speech is what Joyce saw.
Yeah,
and Joyce saw that absurdity. So, but he said, we don't understand, and he tried to explain how we don't understand it, and he couldn't understand how to explain it.
Correct. It didn't just done our Catholic problem with the steps. That would have done it. It would have been so much easier, because then he got it, because then it would be like, well, that's absurd. Well, if you presented it that way, everybody would go, well, that's absurd. And then they go, wait a second, that's really what happened. But we're absurdly oblivious to our absurdity.
Now, Joyce, he got all complexified because he knew so much about so many different things. He was an encyclopedic mind.
The girth of the encyclopedic mind. Wow.
The girth, yes. So how would I interpret what Joyce was thinking when he wrote this line on page 52?
It's very easy. Hi, my name is James, and I'm a recovering Catholic. and just what we just
did. Yeah, don't quit. No. Here's the line. Television kills, telephony and brothers broil. The eyes demand their turn. Let them be seen. That is page 52 of Finding His Way. What was Joyce thinking of when he wrote that line?
He was trying to unestablish or reestablish or establish a meme that brought the frivolity of these, your bodies, as you call it,
yeah,
the degrees or levels.
The frivolity of it.
Yeah.
Why did he use the word television? Was he referring to TV? Oh, you mean he was. He was referring to television.
Sure.
And then you get into the bodies, I see. Television kills, telephony and brothers broil, the eyes demand their turn, let them be seen. And so he was taking the Catholic point that you just did.
Catholic creed.
The Catholic creed. And he was making that a jumping off point for discussing different eras in history and different media phases. Something like that, right? He started to bring in all of experience.
What is that largeness got is what drowned him in his complexity. It got so complex that there was no vicissitude that allowed a common denominator or a thread that could be brought into his place.
What did he miss?
They simplified it down to make it more easy. Simplify it down to not make it such a big, raging, big deal.
He made a big deal out of it.
And got himself trapped in his own rabbit hole of big dealness. He wasn't happy with his work.
Right. Yeah, because he was trying to figure out how to do a book as significant or more than Ulysses, which was
yeah,
a big hit. Which is what happened in rock music. Many bands get in trouble after they have a big hit. They don't know how to top it. They don't know where to go after that. The same thing. Okay, so I'm going to do this again. If Caroline deposited pyramids or tools, Egyptian artifacts in Egypt, Ion said, yes, we have. Because we know that's happening, then we're participating in it. That's what Ion says, yes. So just as the shifting from one world to another is very subtle.
It doesn't have to be. Sometimes it can be a raging, quaking shift. It doesn't have to be this Damascus Road and an Emmaus Road.
What happened on the Emmaus Road?
Well, two people were walking along and they met this fella and they were talking to him and they come to find out he didn't look like every other fella they'd ever seen. He sort of had a translucence about him. And come to find out it was Jesus walking on the Emmaus Road.
Mm.
And they were talking to the Christ and they didn't even know it. And they had this long walking, talking journey with the Christ himself and they didn't even recognize it. So some in the Christ consciousness take a long time to get it.
Whereas Paul gets knocked off his horse or whatever.
Well, he wants it by fire, and he gets it, and it blinds him, and it changes his name and everything.
Does that fire point come into Finnegan's Wake?
Well, I try to, but he never gets there. See, he can't get out of the river long enough to get struck by lightning, you see. It's just for the ambient flow took over and lost the synchronicity of the last rites of the work. So it does not include the last rites. And that's what you're trying to ask, is how does it end? Well, it doesn't. It just sort of wraps it back around to a place where it's like, well, Margie, we're out of paper, so I guess it's over. Okay. No rewrites. Or was it Margie?
The fourth ring, it was Nora. Nora was
Marjorie.
He did talk, he used the word Maggie a lot in this book.
Which is Marjorie.
Did he call Nora Marjorie? Is that a...
No.
His four rings, he had them as stages to enlightenment. They do not match on with the seven levels of hell, right? They're not connected.
Yes.
You do have here the third circle is Joyce's raging inferno. So Joyce had mappings Dante's seven levels in his book, but that was aside from the four rings that he laid out.
That's right. And he was the vindicating one to parallel the other, and he never could quite get it there. That was the whole point. But it was very clear if you did an exegesis on the whole process, if you could, then that'd be an anomaly in and of itself, would it not?
Yeah.
But if you could, if he'd have understood it better, boy, it certainly would have been easier to have to run you around these rings to get you to the degrees of your own separatistness.
McLuhan said that Joyce wrote Finnegan's Wake in the manner of John of Patmos. Circling around.
Very good.
Seven candles, and each one was a level.
Not St. John, not the Apostle John.
John of Patmos. McLuhan said that John of Patmos would go over the design, the pattern, and come to another level. Then he'd go, that'd take him around the pattern, and then he'd get to another level, and he did it like seven times. McLuhan said Joyce did that. He went over the pattern of the book seven times or more in the manner of Patmos. Do you agree with that?
Yeah, well, that's what we said. We just babbled it out for 20 minutes to say the same words.
The seven candles do not relate to the seven levels of hell, because that's Patmos is writing 1,000 years before Dante. And Dante's the one who created the levels of hell.
We didn't say that they did.
Didn't say that who did.
What were you talking about? You're talking about James Joyce and the candles.
Yes, James Joyce did the same method as Patmos. That's another aspect of the book.
Yes.
And then there's the four rings, and then there's the seven levels of hell. All those are things in the wake. You mentioned 13...
Four horsemen of the Apocrypha.
Yes. There's 13 stations of the cross.
Yes.
Could they have a meaning parallel to our legend, our cipher?
Yes.
Oh, okay. So when I said the parallel worlds were easy, I knew. The subtleness. When we walk along the pathway in front of the Grand Wilaya and we're slipping back and forth between the worlds, it's very subtle. But there can be dramatic versions.
Absolutely.
Did Carol and I tend to the non-dramatic versions?
Well,
that was very undramatic going into the restaurant with J.W. I didn't know I was doing it.
And yet you noticed it as how strangely different it was. It's your this late, late night and nobody on the street, and then you go into this restaurant and it's hopping and people are everywhere and you're like, where did they come from? Where did they go?
To my mind, that was a very subtle transition. We went around the corner and suddenly we were just in a restaurant, but actually it was a parallel world restaurant. The subtleness of interaction between people is like the subtleness between worlds. It's very diaphanous, very transparent, though not to the observers. It's almost like if we're all one, then any differences on the surface, like there are different people, you actually have to realize, no, that's just surface foam, surface bubbles. The actual oneness of everybody underneath is what's communicating and why there's so much resonance going on. That is my attempt to explain why people are so tuned into each other.
Okay.
But we do create our own worlds. Can we say there's also not a disconnect from non-physical, but we do disconnect from the other bubbles on the surface?
You certainly can. Yeah. You don't have to, but you can.
As Joyce was showing the subtleness of media, the subtleness of experience and knowledge, and all these categories, and showed the flux in his book. And he actually did pretty good, but you're saying that he personally didn't know how well he'd done.
We personally knew he didn't like it.
And Zappa didn't like his work, and did McLuhan not like his work?
Oh, McLuhan didn't give any attention to anything. It was just the spoof of the day.
Did he enjoy his riff writing?
Yes.
Did Corinne, his wife, know he riff wrote?
Yes, but that would fall into the category of breaking the rules.
You mean in his communication, or just that he would check out and she knew he was checking out?
Yes.
She did not know what parallel world was.
Right.
Yeah, but she knew something was going on with him. And breaking the rules would be not socializing with the family.
No, breaking the rules would be having to navigate this larger dynamic process without them getting credit for it.
He got credit and she did all the work.
Somewhat.
Something like that. So he had other families in other worlds.
Similar, yes.
Yeah. Would you say similar?
Similarly.
Okay, and with that, we are complete. Thank you.